The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David makes a statement of fact. It is unmistakably personal. By faith I know that the Lord has made ample provision for today and tomorrow. My question this morning, as we begin our lesson, can you make the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep, I'm told, started out about 4 a.m. Shepherd guiding them. Went to about 10 a.m. And the shepherd would find green pastures and the sheep would lie down. This was a period of rest where the sheep could digest the grass he had eaten. He didn't drink water. He didn't eat anymore. The question that entered my mind was, how many of us in this day and age of hurry, 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 where is time gone, take time to find a place of quiet, to meditate, to count our blessings, and to pray? You remember Jesus in the garden. He leads me beside still waters. The shepherd led the sheep beside still waters. It was important because the sheep, I'm told, would drink only from calm, still water. The sheep couldn't swim. And this is very, very important. The Lord leads me to still waters. Not rough water. Not the excitement of waterfalls and all that stuff that you read about vacationing in Colorado. He doesn't lead me to places where I should not go, to places where there's no need for me to go. He leads me beside still waters, calm waters. Notice that he leads. He leads me. He doesn't drive me or force me. He leads me. He restores my soul. Something. The restoring of the soul is something that God Himself is the only one that can do. You know, pride can condemn a lot of us. Pride and jealousy often will tear a congregation apart. He restores my soul. You know, sometimes we as children of God, we may lose our focus. We attend the assembly. We worship. But it's out of habit. And our participation becomes a ritual. He restores my soul. Worry a lot about us and our thoughts and our opinions, where our judgment of our soul is determined by what we think. Some of you that are older will recognize with me you have a lot of thoughts of days gone by, of things done, why they were done. Where we have the same attitude that we had at one time, or do we just come and then comment on the singing, comment on the preaching, make our decisions. We've done our work. We've partaken of the Lord's Supper. We've done things along this line, but we've done them not from the heart, but out of habit. Out of habit. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in paths, in right paths. Sheep are funny animals. They can't get along by themselves. They can't find their way home like a dog can. The sheep needs a shepherd. The shepherd, the Lord, leads us in right way, in bright paths, right ways. The reason for study, for application of study the New Testament, the Bible. How long has it been since you've really studied? How we think, what we think. Are we growing? Are we maturing in our thought process, in our knowledge process of following the paths of righteousness? That's the reason that study is so important. We must trust and have confidence in the Lord as our shepherd, the good shepherd, as he's referred to in the New Testament. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I'm told there was actually a valley such as this. It ran from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea. And it was very dangerous. It was very steep. The sheep could fall off on the sides and be lost. It was very, very dangerous. But the sheep needed the shepherd, and the shepherd could guide him through. Today, each of us walk through this valley. It comes in many forms and many times. Illnesses, disappointments, loneliness. You know, we talk about loneliness. My sister and I have been studying 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Paul was lonely in prison. And it just made mindful to me that loneliness is not unusual, it's not wrong, but it is a fact that happens in many times on this. And of course, there's facing death. Wherever the path leads, whatever the situation is, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid, because the Lord is my shepherd and He is with me. It may be rough, it may be tough, and we all know that it is. And we've all faced it in some form or another. But I will fear no evil if I have the Lord as my shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As I was thinking, and you may have a lot of ideas and thoughts come through your mind of what I should be saying or examples that I should be giving. But as long as we get the message, the rod was a club 2 to 3 feet long. The staff was that thing that we recognized with a hook on the end, about 8 feet long. I'm told that the shepherd could use the staff and the hook that when a sheep fell or got out of line, he could hook him and bring him back in. And of course, the club on wild animals and so forth along that line. And we know that David killed animals protecting his sheep. But I also know that the Christian life is not a physical army. We're not to fight physically. We're probably need to learn how to conduct ourselves more acceptably in our situations and conditions of life, but spiritual protection is there for us, and God provides. How does He provide? I don't know if we could list all the ways. I don't know if we can determine all of the ways. But there's one, and you may wonder about this, but there's one passage that I wish that had been drilled into me in growing up. I'm going to read it to you, and I wish every young person that every one of us would put it to heart. Paul said, "No temptation has overtaken you That includes everybody. There's no temptation. Now, he's not talking about persecution. He's talking about temptation. It can be a variety. All of us are different. All of us can be tempted in different ways. But no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Brethren, we have no excuse. My question, and I know the answer whether you give it or not, because it applies to me as well as you. How many of us, when we are tempted to go somewhere or do something or watch on the computer, how many of us ever think of this way of escape, of this passage, that I can handle this? I don't have to go there. I don't have to go with those people, because I remember that evil companions corrupt good morals. God has warned us. He put it up in red flag, put it around it. How many of us ever think that God will not tempt me above what I'm able to bear and will give me a way of escape when I am tempted? I can read in James about trials and the purpose of trials. How can I ever go in when a trial is coming, a big one? I'm faced on the job or whatever it might be, that I can handle it, and it's for a purpose of me proving myself in my faith. How do we ever think of those things when it's actually happening? Perhaps you say that's not a rod or a staff, but it's protection from God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. As a follower of Christ, I have to live in this world. And if I think you'll all agree with me that this is getting a crazy, crazy world in which we're living, a hard world. Religion is getting to be something that is going to change a whole lot. Our children, our culture, and all. Where people in most states are marching now on abortion, and they're wanting to be able to abort the child at the time of birth. What are we getting to? What is happening to us? The follower of Christ lives in this world, but we cannot become part of it. What are our children being taught at school? Scary. I knew things were happening back when I taught, 100 years ago. But I didn't know exactly, put my fingers on all of the things of what it was leading to. And I'm beginning to see. Scary of what they're teaching. Language changing. We cannot live in this world. I read where the Associated Press says that women, you can't use women, the name, to talk about abortion. I said, how in the world can you come, how, you know, how do you come up with that? Keep in mind, in today's culture, there's some men who think they're women. And some women who think they're men. And if a woman thinks she's a man and lives as a man, she can have a baby. And so therefore, it's a man having a baby. And so you can't use this in your writing, books, and all of this. What are we getting to? We need to keep in mind on our children, what they're learning, training our children. He can prepare a table of food for us in the presence of our enemies. Forgive me for getting off on that a little bit, but it's scary. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The sheep often got into trouble. Bumps and bruises, I'd say. And the shepherd would take care of him with oil. The shepherd also carried a water jug, huge clay water jug, and from it he would fill a cup and give it to the sheep. Fill it to the top. Give it to the sheep. How many times is I went over many, many things on this lesson thinking, and I was afraid I was going to go too long and I may go too short and all of this. But I thought about a lot of things, but how many times has the Lord taken care of me? Why wasn't I in that car wreck? Why did I do this just on the spur of the moment? And I remember my mother saying, the Lord's taking care of you. How many times has things happened that's a result of prayer, perhaps, our prayers? I often wonder how many, many times I've been taken care of by God because of my mother's prayer. We believe in prayer. God takes care of us, or He's willing to take care of us if we'll let Him. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice in this, it's my choice. The Lord never forces us to do anything. It is my choice. What better choice could I make? I think that this period of time that we've gone through in the last couple of years with the disease and all of these things, that we've kind of worked out a way of maybe kind of taking things under our own control. Things that kind of satisfy us. We come, we go, we do. But is the Lord our shepherd? We won't make it without Him. Baptism is necessary for salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins, the remission of our sins. Jesus died to establish it, and God will add us to the church. Jesus is in control. But my friends, it is only the beginning. It's the starting place. I'm 60 years old, you say, and I'm baptized. You're at a starting place. You're beginning your walk as a child of God. God's mercy, God's grace is there. I tell you, when you get older, and you get as old as I am and have time, you're filled with regrets. We need to learn today to renew our spirit, our soul, who we are. Parents need to take control. Fathers need to be head of the house. Take on that responsibility. We need to worship together. How was church service this morning? I hope you don't do what you normally do. I don't know, that preacher, you know. That sermon, I don't know, on all of that. And here we go. And we make our judgment. Song leader was good. Yep, he got by. We need to keep our souls ready. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not for today, because He's going to provide. Not for tomorrow, because He's going to provide. If you're any way subject to the gospel invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?